Breakfast with Pat and Heels for Imar Insurance. Get an online quote and instant cover anywhere, anytime. Visit imar.com.au.
It is 7:25. Mark Braybrook filling in for Pat and Heels on this Friday morning. Back on January 10 with the show, just in time for Magic Millions. The Brighton Homes open line 13 13 55, or the text line. Thanks to Love Family Lawyers. Love is all you need. 0467 736 736. And thanks to the Bega District News. I can tell you that Tali and Dean, not Torval and Dean, but Tali and Dean. It's Tali Gill and Dean Hewitt have qualified for the curling at the Winter Olympics by beating Korea. They finished on top of their pool, played Korea, and there you go. Through for the first time in Winter Olympic history, we've got a team in curling. And it's Tali Gill and Dean Hewitt. So congratulations to both of them. I thought on the final show of the year, we'll look back on some of the highlights. We've been doing that for the last couple of weeks, and thought we'd talk a little bit of golf with one of our regular guests on the program. We really appreciate the time he gives us on a regular basis. I speak of Tony Webbeck, who's the senior writer for the PGA of Australia and a contributor to Australian Golf Digest, and he joins me now. G'day, mate. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Enjoying the cricket, no doubt.
Absolutely, yeah. It's always nice to jumped out of my chair. It takes a bit for me to jump out of my chair these days, but when that first ball came in the leg stump, it was it got me up and about.
Absolutely. It's one of the great sporting times when we have an Ashes series. But looking back on 2021, what sort of a scorecard do you give Australian golf and our golfers overseas and at home?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it wasn't a great year for the majors, for the Aussie golfers, apart from, I should qualify that by saying Minjee Lee obviously had her breakthrough win at the Evian. So any time we have a major winner in a year, it's something to celebrate. The men weren't quite as strong, and Mark Leishman's fifth at the Masters was probably the best. But I'm going to give us overall a B+, because I think the exciting thing in Australian golf is the emergence of the young guys we saw this year in Lucas Herbert and Minwoo Lee, both now into the top 50 in the world. And Cam Davis had his breakthrough win in the PGA Tour. So those three will play the Masters next year for the first time. So, the men's majors were probably a bit under par. The girls, we had a win with Minjee. And, there's a lot of great talent. Steph Kyriakou's looks like she'll get through the LPGA Tour, and Karis Davidson. So I think we're on the up. B+, trending to an A+ next year.
Are we seeing a changing of the guard in the men when you mentioned Minwoo Lee and Lucas Herbert and, you know, Cam Davis winning? The fact that Adam Scott is sort of on the other side of the hill, and Jason Day still battling with that back problem, and maybe even motivation too for Jason at this stage of his career. Are we seeing a changing in the guard?
I think so, yeah. I think Cam Smith's going to be our leader for the next sort of 5 years or so. He's just so consistent at the moment, and he's sort of probably entering his peak period in terms of opportunities to win majors. I think we are. I think those three new faces at the Masters next year will be a real change. At this stage, Jason won't be in the Masters. I think Mark will be top 50 in the world end of the year, so he'll be fine. Cam Smith and Adam Scott as a past winner. But, yeah, I think we're going to see, golf fans in Australia are going to see a lot of new names in the next sort of 2 to 3 years, and the names we should follow very closely, because they represent our future, and they're so talented and so fearless. So I think we're going to, it will be a lot of different names next to the Aussie flag on major championship boards for the next few years.
Yeah, when it was confirmed the other day, Minwoo finishing the year at 49 in the world, which means he gets an invite to the Masters. I think I read that there'll be six Aussies competing there next year, those six that you just mentioned. So that'll be good. Always nice to follow the Australians and keep our fingers crossed and hope and get up early that we see another Adam Scott come through and maybe a second Australian win the US Masters. But having said that, Tony, we'd take any of the majors, really, wouldn't we? I mean, the US Masters would be great, but any win in any Masters would be wonderful for the Australians. The COVID restrictions and the fact that we haven't had an Australian Open for a couple of years and tournaments haven't been played at home, is there the potential that we won't know for a couple of years what impact that will have on that next level of emerging professionals that their career may have been stunted by not having as many home tournaments to play in to get them honed for, a career at the top level?
It's absolutely possible. And I think it's probably more pertinent to those guys who might be like 5 or 10 years into their careers and maybe haven't had that one week where they've been able to have a breakthrough or play their way into a tour. That's the other thing the last 2 years. There's been no tours held in Q schools to get on, to get that first opportunity. So the Australian Summer Golf kicked off yesterday with the Vic PGA. We've got 14, I think, confirmed events at this stage. So that's an important process for these young guys the Jed Morgans, Louis Dobelars, Laurie Flynn, these guys to get the K's under the legs and get ready for the next step in their careers. But yeah, it's more those kind of guys, I think, that have been around for a while who might have had 2 years of virtually no golf, who might be looking at other things to occupy their time moving forward. But yeah, it's been a very challenging time for those guys, and anyone not playing on the US Tour or in Europe, it's been very difficult. But there's light now. We've got the Summer of Golf underway in the Australian PGA Championship at Royal Queensland early January. So these guys are going to get opportunities to play in the next few months that hopefully will set them up for the future.
Down the track, 10 years, 15 years, or whatever it may be, when you're sitting around having a beer and chatting with mates after a round of golf in the clubhouse, Tony, what will 2020, when you look back on 2021, what will be the standout for you in 2021?
I think it's an interesting question now that Tiger's announced he's going to play next week. I think Tiger and Phil has been such a dominant rivalry or coexistence for the last sort of 20 years. And just when you think Phil's had a year where he'll dominate all the end of year headlines, Tiger's probably going to swoop in and again be the most talked about athlete in golf for the year. Phil's win at Whistling Straits at the PGA was something for the history books and was almost like Tiger's 2019 Masters, and that you couldn't believe it was happening. But Tiger's comeback from that car crash to now possibly play with his son. Well, he's going to. He's booked in to play with his son, Charlie, next week at the PNC Championship, the father-son tournament. So, again, we are going to end the year talking all about Tiger. And I think the other big talking point will be, especially in 10 or 15 years' time, is the emergence of the Saudi Arabian influence on golf and Greg Norman's involvement in that. So that's going to change. I know a lot of the Aussie guys that are qualified or could qualify by the Asian Tour are very much looking forward to a $5 million event in Saudi Arabia in January. So that's going to be how that influences the world of golf in the next 10 or 15 years. It'll be very, very interesting to see. And the rumblings and eruptions are being felt already, but how Greg Norman sets this thing up for the next 10 years will be very, very influential in world golf.
Well, added to that, or sort of on a sidetrack, when you're talking about, what will happen in the next 10 to 15 years, I still think the Bryson DeChambeau attempt to try and change the game and change the way the game is played will be discussed. Whether it is a complete success or whether or not Bryson's the only one that can play like Bryson does, and you still are able to have those players that can, not a hit it as far off the tee, but their short game and putting and all that sort of stuff still means golf is played like golf as we know it.
And it's sort of comforting to us amateurs who fiddle with our swings and grips constantly that a guy like Bryson made other elite pros question what they were doing. Rory got caught up in it and admitted it. He sort of reverted back to his more preferred style of play, but he did change the game. He has changed the game. He's changed the way his fellow professionals prepare and think what's possible. So whether he's still continuing in that vein in 10 years' time, or we've got a new person emerge that threatens the status quo, will be interesting to see. But yeah, Bryson absolutely has changed the way we view what's possible in golf and what can be successful. It doesn't work for everyone, as Rory found out. So we'll all keep tinkering and fiddling and trying to work out how to perfect this crazy game.
Yeah, and even if they do, Bryson talks it up. And when they win, when he wins, and same with Dustin Johnson. And I mean, you remember Martin Keimer won a US Open by the length of the straight. it's very hard to dominate like Tiger dominated, in 10, 15 years ago. Do you ever think we'll see a player dominate like Tiger and Jack and Phil Mickelson, potentially, maybe to a lesser extent, but certainly like Tiger and Jack Nicklaus, that number one player in the world like Greg Norman was for so long? He didn't win as many majors as he should have. But do you reckon we'll have a situation in the future where we'll have such a dominant player again?
I don't. I think it's too hard to sustain these days with all the external influences and the pressures that come to bear. There's an interesting story in Brooks Koepka in the latest Australian Golf Digest. And he's sort of basically saying, oh, I can get Jack. I only have to win one major a year and I can pass Jack. It sounds really simple. And he's shown that he can win multiple majors quickly, but he hasn't won one for a couple of years, and it's just such a hard thing to sustain for so long. And the quality of the fields are now so much stronger. So, whereas back in Jack's day, maybe 10 guys could turn up in the major and win, it's now 50, 60, 70 every week at each major championship that they play. So I think it's too... I'd be amazed if anyone else gets to 10.
Yeah, and look, I mean...
In the future.
Yeah, I agree with you. The depth of talent right across the world, and I mean, we talk about the USPGA Tour a lot because of the money and the key players that are playing on the USPGA Tour. But the European Tour is as strong as it has ever been in that respect. The depth of player there is enormous as well.
Absolutely, and they're playing all around the world. And just think for a moment, this year we had we talk about the highlights of 2021. I know what it would be in Japan. And that's Hideki Matsuyama, winning the Masters. So how will that influence Japan golf for the next 10 years? They're already emerging. There's Aussie coach Gareth Jones, who's been leading kind of their national squad over there for a few years now. They've got the number one amateurs, men and women, and Hideki Matsuyama's Masters win is only going to accelerate that. So the depth is only going to get deeper, when we see how that influences golf in Asia and elsewhere around the world. So it's only going to get tougher to win majors. So, I think if anyone wins 10, they'll be in the Hall of Fame, or top five all time if they can achieve that.
Yeah, well, and you look, but you also look, and I think we discussed this on the show some time ago, Ricky Fowler now has won over $40 million on tour without winning a major. I mean, the money is just unbelievable, isn't it?
And that's only going up, and that's the interesting thing about this Saudi Arabian kind of investment is how that will, the PGA Tour is going to put up prize money to match it, essentially, and come up with other incentives to keep the top players on their tour. Europe, I think, announced they've got like 47 events next year.
Yeah.
So all around the world. So
the world tour, yeah.
Yeah. And all we can hope is that just creates more opportunities for our young Aussie guys to get out there and make a name for themselves and make a living, because it has been tough for a lot of them. And apart, we talk about the money in golf, but it's probably only the top 1% that are really rolling in it. For the other guys, it's a battle week after week. So the more money in golf, the more chances we have for our guys to play well and make a living for themselves and be on our TV screens and selling products, hopefully.
And attract more players to
play
the game.
Next generation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. We've had such an influx of golf the last sort of 2 years with COVID. We need our guys and girls on the world stage providing inspiration to the young kids that are getting into the game. And, I think we're going to see that.
Just before I let you go, real question without notice, just thinking while you're having your chat there, and it's the end of the year. Best course you played this year?
I haven't actually had a chance to play a lot of golf this year.
Oh, come on, Tony.
I'm working on a book that's going to come out next year that's going to detail every Aussie that's played the British Open. So that's going to be out next year, and
that'll be interesting.
Kept me busy. But the most exciting probably round of golf I had this year, I had a Sunny Coast golf trip in February and got back to Coolum, and it was in good condition, and it's just such a magnificent golf course, and it was very pleasing and made my heart swell to see that course getting back to its former glory. So
that's great. That's good to hear.
of my round of golf for this year that I remember most, that's probably the one that sort of sticks out.
Well, mate, thank you so much for the contribution you've made to Breakfast with Patton Hills throughout the year. It's always great to chat to you, and we will chat again hopefully in 2022, particularly about that book. Paddy will be all over that, mate. Thanks for your time, and have a great Christmas and New Year, and we'll talk to you next year.
All right, thanks, mate. Happy golfing to everyone.
Good on you, mate. Tony Webbick there, who is the senior writer for the PGA of Australia and a Golf Digest contributor, talking a little bit of golf, wrapping up the year for us, and what a year of golf it has been. And 2022, fingers crossed, promises to be even better. And let's hope we get an Australian male to join our women as winners of majors in 2022. It is 18 past 7.